Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC, and let others just cover the horse race. We've got issues. It's issue 23 in our 30 issues in 30 days election series. Today's issue, density and sustainable development. Obviously, the past 12 years under Mayor Bloomberg have seen tons of rezonings and massive developments along the waterfront and all over. If you ride the L train, for example, you know that with development comes more people on the already crowded transit lines. It means more users of sewers, parks, streets, and schools. So today we are joined by New York Times reporter Charles Bagley to look at how the next mayor might approach density and the impact on our city. Welcome back, Charles.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You know, I want to focus on two specific examples as a way of talking about the issue. The East Midtown rezoning, which is on the table before City Council right now, which would allow a lot more density in the Grand Central area, and the Greenpoint-Williamsburg waterfront rezoning and development. East Midtown first. This would apply to the 73-block area surrounding Grand Central Terminal. What's the Bloomberg administration's argument in favor of this? Who supports it and who opposes it?
Sure. It's a plan that would change the zoning so you could build taller towers and thereby in an area that I think most New Yorkers think is already crowded with tall towers, you could build even taller towers. And what's happening is that the real estate industry has embraced this, most of it. There are some companies that feel that the city already has several initiatives, whether it be on the far west side or downtown, that are going to be competing. And certainly on the west side, the city put up the money. They floated $3 billion in bonds to pay for an extension of the subway. The problem is that the money from development on the west side has not rolled in as anticipated. So they've had to take more and more money out of the city budget to pay for that subway. And that's not what they told us. But anyway, so you have some critics, but it's generally embraced by the real estate world as well as by the churches like St. Patrick's and St. Bart's that have unused development rights and nowhere to put them because under the current system, you can only transfer unused development rights to the lot next door, an adjacent lot. And it's a pretty built-up environment, and so they have nowhere to
In other words, though they're not going to build a tower on top of St. Patrick's Cathedral, they could sell those air rights to develop in another spot in the neighborhood. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes. Now, unused development rights or air rights is basically the difference between the existing building and how much bigger you could build under the current zoning.
Mm-hmm.
So if St. Patrick's, let's call it a 10-story building, and the site actually allows for a 50-story building, well, then you can sell the difference between the two numbers.
And the opponents don't like the additional pressure on the infrastructure without additional infrastructure. And yet the two mayoral candidates seem to both be for this, though with slightly different language. When asked by The Real Deal, Loda gave a very simple, I support the proposal and will champion it as the next mayor. De Blasio was more nuanced, but I think he lands on yes here. He says it would help meet a pent-up demand for high-quality Class A office space around Grand Central Terminal and hopefully have a catalyzing effect on the diversification of New York's economy by expanding the stock of available office space for a wider array of firms. However, he continued, the current plan does not adequately address the infrastructure necessary to accommodate the additional office density. There must be a clear plan for infrastructure improvements and a rational plan to pay for it before we proceed. So that's still a yes. He still wants to do it. But what do you think would satisfy him?
I think that a lot of people think that we should review the city, the zoning, so that you can build new buildings and that these buildings be you know, that they have all the modern features. But I don't think that there is such pent-up demand that, you know, you've got all these corporations knocking on doors begging for buildings.
So you think even de Blasio goes too far in assessing
this? I think that generally people say, okay, there's an agreement that we should review these things. The question is whether this proposal is the best one. And I think that de Blasio is, I think, fast learning that there are some issues here. The problem with the infrastructure in the Grand Central area exists right now. You're talking about the 4, 5, and 6 line, which are probably the most heavily used, certainly right. The most heavily crowded.
And it's going to be a while before the Second Avenue subway opens.
Yes, it will, but we will be getting the East Side Access coming into Grand Central.
Yeah.
So you're going to have... You have a need for improvements right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting an additional flow of people coming into that neighborhood through East Side Access, and then you're talking about new buildings and new office workers.
Let me go on to the example of Williamsburg Greenpoint rezoning, which, of course, spurred all kinds of development there, obviously. For years now, if you try to get on the L train at Bedford or Lorimer at rush hour, you often have to let a few trains pass before you can get on. I know people who actually ride the train away from Manhattan in order to get on and then turn around. And it's not like you can add another car to that train. It's at capacity. So is either candidate talking about slowing down development for the sake of infrastructure as an overall strategy?
No, they've both embraced the concept of density, and that by using density and zoning, you can address some of the city's issues, whether it be the lack of affordable housing or revenue or whatever. So they're both clear on that, but you're absolutely right. The Williamsburg, which has grown quite a bit in the last decade, they've got decent public transportation into Manhattan. Greenpoint doesn't really have much at all, and we're facing now a spurt of development in Greenpoint. So I think that's going to become a very big issue, and of course the solution is very expensive. Subways don't come cheap.
So how different do you think de Blasio would be with respect to development than Bloomberg? I think they both talk about transit-oriented development, density around subway stations and bus stops, especially bus rapid transit stops. De Blasio is a pragmatist, I think it's accurate to say, when it comes to development. He supported Atlantic Yards, he says, for the affordable housing component. He supported the Greenpoint-Williamsburg rezoning for the affordable housing. So how different do you think he would be from Bloomberg?
I think we have to face up to the fact that the Bloomberg administration has rezoned vast portions of the city. I mean, they claim to have done over 130 rezonings.
It's one of the absolute biggest legacies. People talk about cigarette ban and stuff like that. When you really get down to it, this is at least as big as that in New York. You know, it's apples and oranges, but it's huge, the degree of rezoning that Bloomberg has done.
Yes, it's extraordinary. And I would draw a distinction, though, between rezoning, and this is going to reshape what the skyline looks like in the future. I mean, the changes that he's made to the zoning, we won't see them manifest themselves as buildings in some cases for a long time. But that doing the rezoning is different than having a physical legacy of bridges and tunnels.
Yes.
and buildings, public buildings. That will be a big thing, and I would think that people are already, some developers are already talking about changing the zoning on the far west side.
So before you go,
yes,
will the next mayor be able to roll any of this back that they think is excessive, or has that train left the station? Or another way to ask it, would the next mayor be able to do it in a different way? I'll throw in one other thing. Public school advocates constantly say to me, you know, all this density is being built up in select neighborhoods without an integrated plan to build more public school classrooms. And, you know, they shrug it off and say, oh, the classrooms will come eventually, but there's no integrated plan. And so there are some neighborhoods like on the Upper West Side, PS 199 and all of that, where you know, there are just more and more kids and not necessarily the classroom infrastructure to come along. Could the next mayor come and lay down certain rules for integrated development?
Well, yes, they could, but to some degree, as you point out, the train has left the station. You'd have to go back through a very elaborate process to change or upend the zoning that's already been put into place. I think the next mayor, though, could look at certain projects that have been rushed through in the last 12 months and evaluate whether they're the best thing for the city.
Give me two examples of that before you go, if you can. Rush through in the last 12 months, maybe still months, still reversible.
Well, I think Willett's Point is one that was, you know, that the plan for Willett's Point was involved housing, and what is happening out there now is that they're going to get a big mall, and the housing has been shoved off until 2025. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the local community groups and the church groups out there are very much feeling betrayed because they got behind that project on the basis of getting more affordable housing and in neighborhoods where people are doubled and tripled up. And they just, you know, now they feel like they're not getting anything. We've got plenty of shopping malls.
Issue 23 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days election series. Density. Charles Bagley, development reporter for the New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, Liesl Schillinger. Do you read her word birds? Maybe in the New York Times magazine. She was on the other week, and a listener challenged her to come up with a word for something that doesn't have a word. And she did. So we'll hear what it is and talk about other words that should exist but don't, for things that don't currently have words. Coming up next, stay with us.